The Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed. These words begin St. Paul's restatement of Christ's saying that every priest repeats in consecration of those Eucharistic elements of bread and wine, which both symbolize and objectively become his body and blood. Indeed, on this day, Maundy Thursday, the Church recalls that our Lord instituted the sacrament of his body for his body, the Church, with a commandment that we should do this in remembrance of him. And on this night, the same night in which he was betrayed, he gave of himself and made it such that he could and would perpetually give of himself to the Church. In that Church, and on this day, many traditions have arisen. The service of Tenebrae was originally done on Maundy Thursday, which now may be observed any time between Wednesday and Good Friday in Holy Week. This was the night in which, in the ancient church, penitents who had confessed their sins and perhaps had done dastardly things enough to require excommunication could be reconciled to the body again. On this night, holy oils are to be blessed by bishops. On this night, the last scrutinies of the catechumen would take place in the ancient church. Those who were to be baptized on Easter would face their final exams. And a special host or wafer is consecrated and reserved on an altar of repose in many churches, taken out of the sanctuary, symbolizing Christ's true death, but reserved in order to recognize that our hope of salvation was never truly dashed. But there is another tradition on Maundy Thursday which is much more public, and you've perhaps seen images of it in the news on Maundy Thursdays in the past. And the image is that of clergy washing the laity's feet, and especially the Pope. This is done in imitation of Christ, as the alternate gospel reading for this day, the one we've read this evening, gives an account from John 13 about how Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he should depart out of this world, riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, strips himself down and places himself beneath his own disciples to wash their feet. And in light of this foot washing, Jesus states, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That is the mandate, the commandment of Maundy Thursday. And now there are two images in this mandatory love. And indeed we see that Jesus washing the feet of the disciples is indeed commensurate and not so different from him giving himself to us in the sacrament. But about that foot washing, when Jesus comes to Peter, Peter has a problem. Peter is, of course, for many people, their favorite apostle because he is so imperfect and he makes everyone feel better about themselves. For his response seems to always be wrong. "Not so, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet." And that doesn't seem like such a bad mistake. Peter, knowing the glory of his Lord, could not accept the notion that one so glorious could also be his servant. Peter felt on this night, as he saw his beloved Lord stooping down, much the same as he felt on another night when he resisted Jesus in a similar way, Matthew chapter 16. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter, no doubt stung at being called Satan by his Lord, and he probably sensed now that he had once again caused an offense. Peter's response to Jesus' humbling was one of shock and awe and even worship. But nevertheless, his reverence for the Lord was not godly. Thou hast not the things of God in mind. He believed that great men do not stoop down. Great ones only ascend above others. And whatever you choose to believe about the jurisdiction of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, it is really something to see this one who serves in the See of St. Peter to be washing feet on this day. And you sense the irony there, don't you? For St. Peter resisted this, and now the one who's in the See of St. Peter is always washing feet on Maundy Thursday. And I can always picture in heaven St. Peter looking down and saying, I know, I know. And all the other apostles rubbing it in. Don't you remember that night? Because of St. Peter's worldly understanding then, it was hard for him to see how the kingdom of God could be so very different from the kingdoms of men. But he would be shaken from that belief. When Peter rejected the notion that Jesus would suffer and die, Peter was given no time for response before he was told, Get behind me, Satan. But now, when his Lord told him that if his feet were not washed, Peter would have no part in him, he repented without hesitation. He was now familiar with being on the wrong side of Jesus' sayings, and he knew that was no place to be. What would be a simple lowering of himself to serve the apostles with the washing of feet was an action not to be contradicted. For the washing of feet was a microcosm of the entire action of the incarnation, a lowering of himself to serve us, a humbling that would soon become much more focused as the lowering himself to serve the whole world by the passion of the cross. And St. Peter and anyone else, if you resist this, you have no part. Peter's response is one that we may often see, one extreme response to Jesus' love for us, recoil. St. Peter saw up close what it was that God was doing in the world. And when he really caught the whiff of it and really understood it, he was shocked and astounded and even appalled at what was going on. I bet you don't remember the last time someone washed your feet. But to think that Christ would wash your feet, he was appalled. We have stood in the light of the Christian faith for so long sometimes that our eyes have become adjusted to the light of the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and it becomes about as breathtaking to us as buying eggs at the store. But at important moments in our lives, the truth of Christ will be revealed to us anew. And like Peter, we'll see it up close and are often, rightly, shocked and appalled and astounded by what's going on, by what's still going on in this church even today. God has given himself for us. And Christ suffered because of and on behalf of and for the salvation of you, and gives himself constantly for you in this sacrament, for your eternal life and health. God is always washing your feet. And when you have recovered from that, you'll perhaps be ready for the mandate which comes afterwards. And now you must love one another like this. In Atlanta, the members of St. Barnabas, the church I used to be at, would go to The Central Presbyterian and Catholic Church of the Immaculate Conception Homeless Shelter. And the evidence of Christian charity, ironically, was that if you wanted to serve those homeless people at dinner, you had to sign up months in advance to get a spot. There's a little irony there. But after dinner was something that was a sight to behold, a foot washing ministry. That wasn't us. We just served lasagna. There was foot washing. There was basic medical care and massage of the feet of the homeless. New socks. And it was incredible to see. And the joy on the faces of those people who were able to show their love in such a way was amazing. And for some who think of this service as appalling, in a sense it was appalling. That showing of love, that true understanding, was something that St. Peter would have recoiled from as well. And so now we understand one response, Peter's response of recoil. But there's another response to that breathtaking love of God. Afterwards, when speaking to some of these homeless fellows, one man I was overhearing him say was dissatisfied with the service that he had received at his foot washing. He had come expecting to be served and claimed that he had suffered because of the foot washing people, that they were not highly trained enough, and that the free service could have been much, much better. Now I was really appalled. And that was astounding to me, because I don't remember the last time anyone gave me a foot washing. But we're not simply talking about homeless people here. We have one response to the love of God, Peter's response. But here's another, the opposite of Peter's response, and it's not unheard of, that the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, that breathtaking reality, becomes a light to which our eyes are adjusted and we lose perspective on what's happened here. It's possible for what we are doing here to not only become comfortable to us or rote, but almost nothing to us. And though this season only comes once a year, it may still become routine. We may receive of the body and blood of Christ and hear of his passion for us and contemplate his true death, his true descent, his true resurrection, and his true ascension. And yet on the tips of our tongues is complaining and murmuring about the service. And I don't mean the service. I mean the service. That quality of that could have been much better. And I don't know that I'm quite satisfied, thank you. It's possible for us to lose perspective of God washing our feet and respond saying, "You missed a spot." But when the Lord of all takes a towel at his waist and washes your feet and commands you to do likewise, you must admit there's no room left to be fussy or easily offended. We draw close to God these last 3 days of Lent, and we increase the number of services available to Christians so that everyone gets a chance to take a good long look at the love of Christ. At times, the church has even tried, often unsuccessfully, to call days like these an obligation. Whenever you oblige someone to do something, it has the opposite effect. So we don't do that here. And why? Because the Christian faith is about going to church? No. Rather, because somehow people have got to understand that we've not been given the option to distance ourselves from the love of Christ. Whether from a sense of unworthiness as St. Peter, who wanted to recoil and found out he would have no part in this if he recoiled, or whether from an over-familiarity to all of this as one who complains about his foot washing. This Easter, pray that God grants you the shock of St. Peter, who received Christ's sacrificial love as it became clear that allowing yourself to be served will be the only way to receive Christ. Pray that God grants you, therefore, gratefulness and clarity enough to see how graciously you have been and are being served. Pray that God will grant you to understand in a new way what it means to love one another in the same way that Christ has loved us. And pray that God would grant you the awe of one who understands in a new way what it means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.